The Elves and the Shoemaker. There was once a shoemaker who worked very hard and was very honest, but he still could not earn enough to live upon, and at last he had all in the world was gone, save enough leather to make one pair of shoes. Then he cut his leather out, all ready to make it up the next day, meaning to rise early in the morning to do his work. His conscience was clear and his heart light amidst all his troubles, so he peaceably went to bed and left all his cares to heaven and soon fell asleep. In the morning, after he said his prayers, he sat himself down to work, and his great wonder, there stood the shoes, already made, upon the table. The good man knew not what to say or think, with such an odd thing happening. He looked at the workmanship, and there was not one false stitch in the whole job. All was so neat and true that it was quite a masterpiece. The same day a customer came in, and the shoes suited him so well that he willingly paid a price higher than the usual for them. And the poor shoemaker, with the money, bought leather enough to make two pairs more. In the evening he cut out the work and went to bed early, that he might get up and begin next day. But he was saved all his trouble, for when he got up in the morning the work was done, ready to his hand. Soon in came buyers, who paid him handsomely for his goods, so that he bought enough leather for four more pair. He cut out the work, and overnight found it done in the morning as before. So it went on for some time, and was got ready in the evening, was always done by daybreak, and the good man soon became thriving and well off again. One evening, about Christmas time, he and his wife were sitting over the fire chatting together, and he said to her, "I should like to sit up and watch tonight, that we may see who it is that comes in and does my work for me." The wife liked the thought, so they left a light burning and hid themselves in the corner of the room behind a curtain that was hung up there, and watched what would happen. As soon as it was midnight, there came two little naked dwarves and sat themselves upon the shoemaker's bench, took up all the work that was cut out, and began to ply with their little fingers, stitching and wrapping and tapping away at such a rate that the shoemaker was all wonder and could not take his eyes off them. And on they went till the job was quite done. The shoe stood ready upon the table, and this was long before daybreak. Then they bustled away quick as lightning. The next day the wife said to the shoemaker, "Those little whites have made us rich, and we ought to be thankful for them, and do a good turn if we can. I'm quite sorry to see them run about as they do. Indeed, it's not very decent, for they have nothing upon their backs to keep off the cold. I'll tell you what, I will make them each a shirt and a coat and a waistcoat and a pair of pantaloons into the bargain. Do you think each of them would wear a little pair of shoes?" The thought pleased the cobbler very much, and one evening, when all the things were ready, they laid them on the table. Instead of work, they used to cut out, and then went and hid themselves to watch what the little elves would do. About midnight, they came in dancing and skipping and hopping around the room, and they went to sit down to do their work as usual. But when they saw the clothes lying for them, they laughed and chuckled and seemed mightily delighted. They then dressed themselves in the twinkling of an eye, and danced and capered and sprung about, as merry as could be, till at last they danced out the door and away and over the green. The good couple saw them no more, but everything went well with them for that time forward, for as long as they lived. The Juniper Tree. Long, long ago, some 2,000 years or so, there lived a rich man with a good and beautiful wife. They loved each other dearly, but sorrowed much as they had no children. So greatly did they desire to have one that the wife prayed for it day and night, but still they remained childless. In front of the house there was a court in which grew a juniper tree. One winter's day, the wife stood under the tree to peel some apples, and as she was peeling them, she cut her finger, and the blood fell in the snow. "Ah," sighed the woman heavily, "if I had but a child, as red as the blood and white as the snow." And as she spoke the words, her heart grew light within her, and seemed that her wish was granted, and she returned to the house feeling glad and comforted. A month passed, and the snow had disappeared. All the another month went by, and all the earth was green. So the months followed one another. At first the trees budded in the woods, and soon the green branches grew thickly intertwined, and then the blossoms began to fall, and once again the wife stood under the juniper tree, and it was so full of sweet scents that her heart leapt for joy, and she was so overcome with her happiness that she fell on her knees. Presently the fruit became round and firm, and she was glad and at peace. And when they were fully ripe, she picked up the berries and ate eagerly of them. Then she grew sad and ill. A little while later she called her husband, and she said to him, weeping, "If I die, bury me under the juniper tree." Then she felt comforted and happy again, and before another month passed she had a little child. When she saw that it was white as snow and red as blood, her joy was so great that she died. Her husband buried her under the juniper tree and wept bitterly for her. By degrees, however, his sorrow grew less, and although at times he still grieved over her loss, he was able to go about as usual, and later on he married again. And now his little daughter, born to him, the child of his first wife, was a boy, who was red as blood and white as the snow. The mother loved her daughter very much, and when she looked at her and looked at the boy, it pierced her heart to think he would always stand in the way of her own child. She was continually thinking how she could get the whole property for her. The evil thought took possession of her more and more and made her behave unkindly to the boy. She drove him from place to place with cuffings and buffetings so that the poor child went about in fear, had no peace from the time he left school to the time he went back. One day the little daughter came running to her mother in the storeroom and said, "Mother, give me an apple." "Yes, my child," said the wife, and gave her a beautiful apple out of the chest. The chest had a very heavy lid and a large iron lock. "Mother," said the little daughter again, "may not brother have one too?" The mother was angry at this, but she answered, "Yes, when he comes out of school." Just then she looked out the window and saw him coming, and it seemed as if an evil spirit had entered into her, for she snatched the apple out of her little daughter's hand and said, "You should not have one before your brother." She threw the apple into the chest and shut it. The little boy came in, and the evil spirit and the wife made her say kindly to him, "My son, will you have an apple?" She gave him a wicked look. "Mother," said the boy, "how dreadful you look." "Yes, give me an apple." The thought came to her that she would kill him. "Come with me," she said. And she lifted up the lid of the chest. "Take one out for yourself." As he bent over to do so, the evil spirit urged her, and crash, down went the lid, and off went the little boy's head. Then she was overwhelmed with fear, the thought of what she had done. "If only I could prevent anyone knowing I did it," she thought. So she went upstairs to her room and took a white handkerchief out of her top drawer. Then she set the boy's head again on his shoulders and bound it with the white handkerchief so nothing could be seen, placed him on a chair by the door with an apple in his hand. Soon after this, little Marlene came up to her mother, who was stirring a pot of boiling water over the fire, and said, "Mother, brother is sitting by the door with an apple in his hand, and he looks so pale. When I asked him to give me an apple, he did not answer, and that frightened me." "Go to him again," said her mother. "If he does not answer, give him a box on the ear." So little Marlene went and said, "Brother, give me the apple." And he did not say a word, so she gave him a box on the ear, and his head rolled off. She was so terrified at this that she ran crying and screaming to her mother. "Oh," she said, "I have knocked off brother's head." And then she wept and wept, and nothing would stop her. "What have you done?" said her mother. "But no one must know about it, so you must keep silence. What is done cannot be undone. We will make him into puddings." She took the little boy and cut him up and made him into puddings and put him in the pot. But Marlene stood looking on and wept and wept, and her tears fell in the pot, and there was no need of salt. Presently, father came home and sat down to dinner and said, "Where is my son?" The mother said nothing, but gave him a large dish of black pudding, and Marlene still wept without ceasing. The father asked again, "Where is my son?" "Oh," answered the wife, "he's gone into the country to his mother's great uncle. He's going to stay there some time." "What has he gone there for? He's never even said goodbye to me." "Well, he likes being there. He told me he should be away quite 6 weeks. He's well looked after there." "I feel very unhappy about it," said the husband. "In case it should not be all right, and he ought to have said goodbye to me." And then he went to his dinner. "Little Marlene, why do you weep?" "Brother will soon be back." And then he asked his wife for more pudding. Then he ate and he threw his bones under the table. Little Marlene went upstairs and took her best silk handkerchief out of her bottom drawer, and she wrapped all the bones from under the table and carried them outside. And all the time she did nothing but weep. She laid them in the green grass under the juniper tree, and had no sooner done so, all her sadness seemed to leave her, and she wept no more. And now the juniper tree began to move. The branches waved back and forward, first one way, then the other, and then together again, as if someone might be clapping their hands for joy. After this, a mist came around the tree, and in the midst of it was all a burning fire. There, out of the fire, flew a beautiful bird that rose high in the air, singing magnificently. And when it could no more be seen, the juniper tree stood there as before, and the silk handkerchief and the bones were gone. Little Marlene now felt light-hearted and happy, as if her brother were still alive, and she went back to the house and sat down cheerfully at the table and ate. The bird flew away and alighted on the house as a goldsmith and began to sing, "My mother killed her little son. My father grieved when I was gone. My sister loved me best of all. She laid her kerchief over me and took my bones so they may lie underneath the juniper tree. Kiwit, kiwit, what a beautiful bird I am." The goldsmith in his workshop stopped making gold chain when he heard the song of the bird on his roof. He thought it so beautiful that he got up and ran out and crossed the threshold and lost one of his slippers. But he ran on to the middle of the street with a slipper on one foot and a sock on the other. He still had on his apron. He still had the gold chain and the pincers in his hand. So he stood gazing up at the bird while the sun came shining brightly down on the street. "Bird, how beautiful you sing. Sing me that song again." "Nay," said the bird, "I do not sing twice for nothing. Give me that gold chain and I will sing you again." "Here is the chain, take it, only sing me that again." The bird flew down, took the gold chain in its right claw, and then alighted in front of the goldsmith and sang, "My mother killed her little son, my father grieved when I was gone, my sister loved me best of all and laid her kerchief over me, took my bones so they may lie underneath the juniper tree. Kwit, kwit, what a beautiful bird I am." Then flew away and settled on the roof of a shoemaker's house. "My mother killed her little son, my father grieved when I was gone, my sister loved me best of all and laid her kerchief over me and took my bones so they may lie underneath the juniper tree. Kwit, kwit, what a beautiful bird I am." The shoemaker heard him and he jumped and ran in his shirt sleeves and stood looking at the bird on his roof, his hand over his eyes to keep from being blinded by the sun. "Bird," he said, "how beautiful you sing." Then he called to the door to his wife. "Wife, come out. Here is a bird who looks how beautifully it sings." He called his daughter and his children and the apprentices and the girls and the boys, and they all ran up the street to look at the bird and saw how splendid it was with its red and green feathers and its neck like burnished gold, its eyes like two bright stars and its head. "Bird, sing me that song again," said the shoemaker. "Nay," answered the bird, "I do not sing twice for nothing. You must give me something." "Wife," said the man, "go into the garret. In the upper shelf you will find a pair of red shoes. Bring them to me." The wife went and fetched the shoes. "There, bird," said the shoemaker, "now sing the song again." The bird flew down and took the red shoes in his left claw and went back to the roof and sang the song again. When he finished, the bird flew away. He had the chain in his right claw, shoes in his left. He flew right away to the mill and went click, 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 click. Inside the mill were 20 miller's men, hewing a stone as they went, heck, 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 click, clack, click, clack, click, clack. And the bird settled on the lime tree in front of the mill and sang, "My mother killed her little son," one of the men left off. "My father grieved when I was gone." Two more left off and listened. "My sister loved me best of all." Then four more left off and laid a kerchief over me and took my bones so they might lie. Now there were only eight at work. Underneath, now only five. The juniper tree. Now only one. "Kwit, kwit, what a beautiful bird I am." And he looked up. The last one had left off work. "Bird, what a beautiful song it is you sing. Let me hear you sing it again." "Nay," answered the bird, "I do not sing twice for nothing. Give me that millstone and I will sing it again." "If it belonged to me alone," said the man, "you should have it." "Yes, yes, if he will sing it again, he can have it," said the others. The bird came down and all the 20 millers and lifted the stone with a beam. And then the bird put his head through the hole, took the stone around his neck like a collar, and flew back to the tree and sang the song again. When he had finished the song, he spread his wings with the chain in his right claw and the shoes in his left and the millstone around his neck. He flew right away to his father's house. The father, the mother, and little Marlene were having their dinner. "How light-hearted I feel," said the father, "so pleased and cheerful." "And I," said the mother, "I feel so uneasy, as if a heavy thunderstorm were coming." But little Marlene sat and wept and wept. And the bird came flying towards the house and settled on the roof. "I do feel happy," said the father. "How beautifully the sun shines. I feel as if we're all going to see an old friend again." "Ah," said the wife, "I am so full of distress and uneasiness that my teeth chatter, and I feel as if there were a fire in my veins," and she tore open her dress. All the little while, Marlene sat in the corner and wept, and the plate on her knees was wet with her tears. The bird flew to the juniper tree and began singing, "My mother killed her little son." The mother shut her eyes and ears so she might see and hear nothing. But there was a roaring sound in her ears like that of a violent storm, and her eyes burning and flashing like lightning. "My father grieved when I was gone." "Look, mother," said the man, "that beautiful bird singing so magnificently. How warm and bright the sun is, and what a delicious spice in the air." "My sister loved me best of all." Then little Marlene laid her head down on her knees and sobbed. "I must go outside and see the bird nearer," said the man. "Ah, do not," said the wife. "I feel as if the whole house were in flames." But the man went out and looked at the bird. "She laid her kerchief over me and took my bones so they might lie underneath the juniper tree. Kwit, kwit, what a beautiful bird I am." When the bird let the gold chain fall, it fell around the man's neck and it fitted him exactly. He went inside and said, "See what a splendid bird? He has given me a beautiful gold chain and it looks so beautiful himself." But the wife was in fear and trouble. She fell on the floor and her cap fell from her head and the bird began again. "My mother killed her little son." "Ah me," said the wife, "if we're 1,000 feet beneath the earth, then I might not hear that song." "My father grieved me when I was gone." And the woman fell down as if dead. "My sister loved me best of all." "Well," said the little Marlene, "I will go out too if the bird will give me anything. She went out. She laid her kerchief over me and took my bones so they may lie. He threw the shoes down to her underneath the juniper tree. "Kuwit, kuwit, what a beautiful bird I am." She now felt quite happy and lighthearted, and she put on the shoes and danced about and jumped in them. "I was so miserable, and when I came out, that all passed away. That is indeed a splendid bird, and he has given me a pair of red shoes." The wife sprang up, her hair standing out from her head like flames of fire. "Then I will go out too," she said, "and see if the bird will lighten my misery, for I feel as if the world were coming to an end." But as she crossed the threshold, crash! The bird threw the millstone down on her head, and she was crushed to death. The father and little Marlene heard the sound and ran out, but they only saw mist and flame and fire from the spot. When these had passed, there stood the little brother. He took the father and little Marlene by the hand, and they all rejoiced and went inside together and sat down to their dinners and ate.